Welcome to Wednesday Night Worship at First Baptist. Tonight's speaker is Dr. Jeff Reynolds.
Let's pray together. Father, we love you, and we are so thankful that you are willing to speak to us. And so, Lord, now, through your word and by your spirit, encourage us that as we dwell in homesickness, we can be hopeful because of the great hope that awaits us in Christ Jesus our Lord. It's in his name that we pray. Amen. Well, as I mentioned on Sunday, this is kind of part two of a message that began on Sunday morning in a series entitled Help for the Homesick. We spent a lot of time Sunday talking about the fact that this world is not our home. For those of us who trust and follow Jesus, there's a better home awaiting. And unfortunately, there are so many symptoms of the fallen nature of the world in which we live. We see people hurting and struggling and crying out, and quite frankly, we experience those things too. And every instance where the world doesn't seem right, and where indeed the world is not right, is evidence that we truly do live in a fallen world and that God desires a greater reality for us. So much so that he sent his only son, Jesus, that we might come to him in repentance and faith, that we might be forgiven of our sins, and that we might be restored to a right relationship with God, so that though we struggle now, there's a better home awaiting. And we know that, and we long for it, and we yearn for it, and we have that hope to which we cling. So there is help for the homesick in Paul's letter to the church at Thessalonica, his first letter there. It's unbelievable how God speaks into this context through the pen of the Apostle Paul. And the way that God speaks into the Thessalonian context is the way that he speaks into our context in so many ways. See, the Thessalonians were homesick. God had sent Paul to them as part of the second missionary journey when God had closed the door for Paul to go into Asia and Bithynia, but opened the door for him to go into Europe. God did a mighty work through the Apostle Paul and through his traveling companions in Acts chapter 17. We see that God led them into Thessalonica where Paul reasoned in the synagogue for 3 weeks, three Sabbaths. And during those 3 weeks, he made the case that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And the Bible tells us that many people believed in the gospel. Many people came to faith in Jesus Christ. And they became children of God. But there were also many people who opposed this movement. There were people among the Jewish ruling class there within the city who opposed the movement. And as a result of their stirring things up with the Roman government leaders who were there in the city, well, the members of the Thessalonian church had to deal with the fact that the city leaders were disturbed at their presence. And anytime the city leaders are disturbed at your presence, you are going to be disrupted to some degree. And they were. Well, after Paul and his team were long gone, and these men and women continued to follow Christ, some coming from a Jewish background and some coming from a Gentile background, they were yearning for the return of Christ because they themselves were homesick. They were waiting for their vindication so that no longer Rome would be able to exert the control over them that it was exerting. No longer would they have to deal with the sorrows that this life brings. And by the time that Paul writes this letter, they've had some brothers and sisters in Christ who have died. And in their mind, it wasn't supposed to be that way. So they were really homesick. And they were waiting and waiting and waiting for God to do the work for which they so longed, to have Christ return and set everything right. So really, they were waiting, they were hurting, they were tired, and they were longing. Maybe you can identify with those feelings even today. You are waiting for this home that awaits you in Jesus Christ, where there will be no more tears in our eyes, no more suffering, no more sorrow, no more pain. But all things will be made right. Maybe you are waiting and maybe you are hurting and maybe you're just worn out with it. Maybe you are longing for that heavenly home that awaits. You're homesick. So Paul wrote the letter to the church at Thessalonica to give them help in their homesickness. I think he'll give us some help in ours too. So look with me at 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. We're going to start with verses 1 through 5. The Apostle Paul writes as he's carried along by the Holy Spirit, saying this: Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy, to the church of the Thessalonians in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace. We give thanks to God always for all of you, constantly mentioning you in our prayers, remembering before our God and Father your work of faith and labor of love and steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. For we know, brothers, loved by God, that he has chosen you, because our gospel came to you not only in word, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit with full conviction. You know what kind of men we proved to be among you for your sake. The first point that I want to give us tonight is this: I'm hopeful because of the power of God at work within me. I am hopeful because of the power of God at work within me. You know, I think sometimes in church we reduce the power of the gospel to merely a message of cognition. That the gospel message of Jesus Christ, who came to this earth, lived a life without sin, died a substitutionary death on the cross on our behalf to pay for our sin, was buried in a borrowed tomb, was raised from the dead the third day, and lived among us for 40 days and then ascended unto heaven. Sometimes we see that as a message to be understood, but it's more than that. It's not just a message of theoretical proposition, and it's not just a message of theological proposition. No, it is a message of transformation. The gospel is a gospel of power. And Paul wrote to the church at Thessalonica that the gospel came to them not only in word, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and with full conviction. So the gospel came to the Thessalonians in power. Not only did it inform them, it transformed them, such that whatever background they were coming from, it was nevertheless a sinful background. And they were being transformed, new creations in Jesus Christ by the redemptive and restorative work of Jesus in them. They weren't who they used to be anymore. Their lives were changing. And that's the way the gospel works in our lives. That when we come to Christ, we do not come merely to espouse a new theoretical construct. We come to Christ to live a transformed life. We come to Christ that we might be forgiven of our sin and that we might be set on a heavenward trajectory. We come to Christ so that we might join him in the mission of ushering heaven reality into this earthly moment. So the gospel is not a message simply to be understood. It is a message to be lived. And that's how the gospel had come to the church at Thessalonica. They had been sealed with the Holy Spirit. In fact, in a letter to a different church, in his letter to the church at Ephesus, the Apostle Paul said this in Ephesians 1, verses 13 and 14. In Christ, you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it, to the praise of his glory. So what happens when I come to Christ is God gives me the presence of his Holy Spirit. God literally dwells within me. The Bible says I become the temple of the living God. God's Spirit dwelling within me, and God's Spirit is at work. He's at work in me. He is transforming me. He is bringing the fruit of the Spirit out of me. Things like love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. That's exactly what he's doing. The Bible says that he is working in us that which is pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. That we are experiencing, because of the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit, the renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom God poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that being justified by his grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. That comes from Titus chapter 3. So God is working in us, and the fact that God is working in us is evidence of the Holy Spirit dwelling within us. The fact that God is working in us is evidence that God will bring to completion the good work that He has begun in us. God doesn't start things He doesn't finish. And if you've come to Christ, God has started a work of redemption in you that He will bring to completion at the day of Christ Jesus. If you've received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, He has justified you, He has regenerated you, He has adopted you into His family, and He is now progressively sanctifying you so that when the time comes for you to leave this world and to go be with Him, you'll be ready. You'll be more like Jesus then than you are today. God is working in you that which is pleasing in His sight, and so I can be hopeful. Because I know God is working within me, and the fact that He's working within me is evidence that He will finish what He has started. So I can be hopeful even though I am homesick. Well, now look with me at verses 6 through 9. And you became imitators of us and of the Lord, for you received the word in much affliction with the joy of the Holy Spirit, so that you became an example to all the believers in Macedonia and in Achaia. For not only has the word of the Lord sounded forth from you in Macedonia and Achaia, but your faith in God has gone forth everywhere, so that we need not say anything. For they themselves report concerning us the kind of reception we had among you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. The second point I want to give us tonight is this: I'm hopeful because of the power of God at work through me. I'm hopeful because of the power of God at work through me. Something happens as God works within me. God's work within me overflows out to bless other people. What did Paul say to the Thessalonian Christians? He's saying the report of your faith is making a difference in the world. He said it was making a difference in Macedonia, it was making a difference in Achaia, and indeed it was making a difference everywhere. People were hearing about the faith of these Thessalonian Christians, and people were encouraged, and God was stirring up good things in others as a result of the story of what He was doing in the Thessalonian Christians. And I forget, early on in my time here at First Baptist, we broadcast our service on local cable TV, and we had a snow day. Terrible amount of snow fell, and so we worked diligently to clear the parking lot, but we knew it'd be a small crowd. But we did everything we could to make sure that people could come, but we were so thankful that we also had the broadcast so that people could tune in even though they weren't able to make it out. Incidentally, that's become very helpful in the face of the COVID-19 pandemic. But on that snow day, there was a leader in our church who was slated to give his testimony. And so many people knew and loved this leader in our church. He was active in Sunday school, he was active as a deacon, he was active as a greeter, he was active, and he still is active in all those ways, incidentally. But that day he was going to share his testimony, and what he shared that day is how God had delivered him. He had grown up in a minister's home, and yet he had fallen into patterns of addiction that were destructive in his life. And he stood right here. And he told whoever was watching that he had been addicted to drugs, that he had struggled with alcohol, and that he had struggled with so many things that just regular people struggle with. And here he was, a deacon in his church, and a Sunday school leader in his church, and a greeter at his church. What did that do? It showed all of us that God works through regular people who have real struggles, and that God brings real redemption. There's power to the story of God's work in your life. And as you allow that story to be told, and as you share that story of God's power at work within you, guess what it does in others? It blesses others. I'm convinced that God works through us in ways we will never know until heaven. I really do believe that. I believe that there will be a day in glory when someone will come up to you and say, "Hey, do you remember when this happened? Or do you remember when you shared this? Or do you remember when you said this in passing? That moment changed my life." So for you and me, I believe that's evidence that we need to always be living ready to let the story of God working through us bless others. There's power in those stories. 5 years later, I'm still hearing about that day when that leader in our church shared that testimony. It was unbelievable. But you know, God doesn't just work through our stories. He also calls us, as the Spirit of God works within us, to allow the Spirit of God to overflow from us to be tangible blessings in the lives of other people. So the Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, that we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. We are always, to quoting 1 Thessalonians 5:15, we are to seek to do good to one another and to everyone. In fact, John the apostle tells us that whoever does good is from God. Whoever does evil has not seen God. That's in 3 John verse 11. But then also 1 John chapter 3:18, that we are to love not in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. So as you and I love others, as you and I allow the love of God to flow through us to bless others, we are living out our faith in a way that makes a difference. And God is working through us. He's working through us that which is pleasing in His sight. Now, right now you may be saying, well, God couldn't use me. I've done too much. I've gone too far. People know who I am. Can I just tell you, I felt the exact same way. I never forget one day after church, in my home church, when I was a teenager, one of the staff ministers came up to me after the service and he said, Jeff, have you ever considered working with our youth? I was in college at this point. He said, have you ever considered working with our youth? And I'm like, no. I said, first of all, I don't know enough. And second of all, you don't know who you're asking. And he said, well, man, I want to tell you something. He said, God's at work in your life. And God's grace is able to overcome things that you don't think God's grace can overcome. And I want you to know that God has put a message in you that our students need to hear. So I want you to pray about it. I want you to consider working with the youth. I was compelled, so I prayed about it, and I considered, and I went. And I helped out as much as I could. And man, the doors that God opened for me to just be very real and very authentic with students at the time who are now, I mean, they weren't much younger than me at the time, but who are now living lives as adults. I want you to know it's amazing that God is able to work through anybody. I joke sometimes and say, if God was able to speak through Balaam's donkey, then maybe, just maybe, He can also speak through somebody like me. And maybe, just maybe, He can speak through somebody like you too. So be willing to allow God to use you, to work through you, that which is pleasing in His sight, because He will do a great work. Well, now look with me at this last verse that we're going to cover in this chapter, the last verse of the chapter, verse 10. And to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come. The third point that I would give us tonight is this. I'm hopeful because of the power of God at work for me. I'm hopeful because of the power of God at work for me. Notice that we are waiting for Jesus, who is the one who has paid in full the debt of our sin. The one who has covered over our sin and lawless deeds, who has separated them from us as far as the east is from the west. The one who delivers us, Paul writes, from the wrath to come. Now, incidentally, if you're in Christ, you don't have to be worried about the return of Christ. That's going to be a great day for you. And that's going to usher in a great reality for you forevermore. Now, if you're not in Christ, you need to be petrified of that day. For the Bible said it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. But God desires that you would come to Him and be forgiven, that you would dwell in His grace. So if you're in Christ, you don't have to be scared of it. You can be expectantly looking for it. God has done work for you and is doing work for you. Our knowledge that God is working for us is perhaps our greatest reason to be hopeful in the face of our homesickness. You can access this in a study guide on our website at firstbaptistbg.org. But let me tell you just a few of the things that the Bible says God is actively doing for us right now. He is sustaining us. He is providing for us. He is transforming us. He is guarding us. He is guiding us. He is equipping us. He is sanctifying us. He is disciplining us. He is preparing us for our place. And by God's grace, He is preparing our place in glory for us. That's just some of the things the Bible says that God is actively doing right now for us. And if God is for us, who can be against us? And if God is working on our behalf and He finishes what He starts and He will bring to completion the work that He has begun in us, then we can be utterly hopeful to know that there is a better home awaiting, and it's awaiting by and by. Think about the last time you prayed. What did you pray for? How earnest was your prayer? How much did you mean it? How much longing did your prayer represent? How urgent was it for you? Why'd you take it to God anyway? Well, now I want you to think about your last prayer from God's perspective. The Bible tells us that God knows our needs before we take them to Him. So He already knew your need, and yet He beckoned you to bring that need to Him. He said, "Come to me." He said, "Pray to me." He beckoned you to bring that need to Him and welcomed you with open arms. He knew that that need was causing you anxiety, and He desired that you would cast your anxiety on Him because He cares for you. He is your good, good Father who has called you to ask and to seek and to knock. He is your good, good Father who delights to give good gifts to His children. That's your last prayer from God's perspective. And if God is willing for you and me to pray about anything and everything, then He is willing, even though He already knows our needs, to welcome us to come to Him and to present our requests to Him, to give us His peace that passes understanding even in the face of our needs, to guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. If that's His attitude toward you, what a blessing. God is working for us. And because God is working for us, we know that God will see it all the way through. He finishes what He starts. So the church at Thessalonica was struggling. They were struggling because they were waiting, and they were hurting, and they were tired, and they were longing. They were homesick. They were homesick for a world that had been promised to them in Jesus Christ, but a world that hadn't yet come. Well, can I tell you something? There's not a single Thessalonian Christian to whom this letter was addressed who is homesick any longer, for they are in the presence of their Lord. And they still await His return and the establishment of the new heavens and the new earth and the reign of God on earth with His people. But they're not homesick anymore, for they're with their Lord. And for all of us who trust and follow Jesus, there will come a day when we're not homesick anymore either. What do we do until then? Well, we put one foot in front of the other. We take the next breath. We fix our eyes on Jesus and we run with perseverance the race marked out for us. And we trust that God will see us through, for indeed He will. So today, our theme is this: I'm homesick, but in Christ, I'm hopeful. I pray that you're hopeful today. Let's pray. Oh, Father, we're so thankful. We're so thankful for your love and for your mercy and for your kindness and for your goodness and for the hope that we have in Jesus Christ, our Lord. Well, we know that this world is not our home, but there is a better home awaiting us in Christ Jesus, a one that our Lord has gone to prepare for us, and that if He has gone to prepare it for us, then He will come again to get us, to take us to be with Him such that where He is, there we may be also. So Lord, help us to dwell in hope and help us to pass that hope around. And Lord, if there's anybody listening who's yet to give his or her life to Jesus Christ, may today be the day they say, "Jesus, I need this hope. I've got this longing that I didn't even know was being caused by this separation from you, but you've come that I might no longer be separated from you. So Jesus, come into my life, forgive me of my sin. I trust and follow you and make you my Lord and Savior." And Lord, for all of us, as we fix our eyes on you and run with perseverance the race marked out for us, we pray that you would give us the stamina and the strength that we need to carry on, knowing that there's a better home awaiting by and by. And so, Lord, yet again, we join our hearts and our minds and our voices together to pray that prayer that our Lord Jesus taught us to pray. And in so doing, we will answer the question, whose Father? Our Father, who art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Thank you so much for tuning in to worship with us tonight. And I hope that you will join us for Friday night virtual vespers this Friday at 6:30 as we will finish this message by looking at that song, When the Morning Comes. We'll understand it better by and by. God bless you.